Part 19, Chapter 3. Johnny was pitching rocks down off the bluff and into the lake. The vast lake, really an inland sea, stretched out to a cloudy horizon. There was a storm building up out there now, a not uncommon thing for this huge expanse of water. The bluff on which he stood rose nearly sheer, 200 feet above the lake. Erosion or some volcanic cataclysm from the cloud-hidden peaks to the northeast had covered the bluff top with rocks the size of a man's fist. They were simply made for throwing. He had formed the habit of daily trotting down here from the mine site a few miles away. It was hot and humid here at the equator, but the running did him good. He was not afraid of the various animals around here, ferocious though they might be, for he never went unarmed, and the beasts seldom attacked unless directly disturbed. There was a road of sorts to follow, and the cyclos must have made a habit of coming here from the mine site, perhaps to swim, for the road went across the bluff and down to a beach on the other side. No, not to swim. Cyclos didn't like swimming. Perhaps to go boating? Once, he had read that this lake area had been one of the most heavily populated on the continent. Several millions had lived here. The cyclos seemed to have taken care of them long, long ago, for there was not even a trace of fields or huts, much less people, left. He wondered why the cyclos mainly hunted people. Dr. McKendrick said it was probably a matter of sympathetic nerve vibration. Animals might not suffer acutely enough to add to the enjoyment of the monsters. Or perhaps it was just that man's nerve pattern, in a body with two arms, two legs, and upright, paralleled their own. Even their nerve gas specialized in sentient beings and was far less effective on four-legged creatures and reptiles. There was a cyclo text on its use, and it said as much. Something about its being attuned to more highly developed central nervous systems. But whatever might be the reasons for that, these cyclos at the mine site had not made much of a dent in the game. And the game, smelling him, did not go racing away. He suddenly realized that he didn't smell even vaguely like a cyclo. The storm out there was building up. He glanced toward the very distant mine site to see whether there was any rush getting back there to beat the storm. Very tiny in the distance, a small tri-wheeler ground car had left the mine. Somebody coming. To see him? Or just somebody out for a ride? Johnny went back to pitching rocks. The current state of affairs was a bit gloomy. One of the cyclos had died. The other three were holding on. They had found about a third of the corpses had two items in their heads. And Dr. McKendrick was practicing on the cadavers to find out how to bore in and remove them without killing a cyclo, in case one of the last three made it. They still had two with two objects in their heads. Might even be a relief to them to get rid of the hideous things. But Johnny did not much like all this business with cadavers, and he turned his mind to something more cheerful.